give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man! I got one! Oh, damn, I got him! You got it! I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at Orca.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
And with that, good evening, everybody. I am I am one half of the Monday Night Kickoff Show. I'm Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Joining me tonight, as always, is Mr. One Alan Rylan.
What's up, man? How's it going?
It's going, brother. It's going. We've got a lot of stuff to get to here early on, and then we'll be bouncing on into one of our very, very special guests I've had here before, a good friend of mine, Mr. Bill Terry of Orca Coolers. For those of you that don't know, you just heard the little product spot there. Orca Coolers is one of my personal sponsors, along with Hobie and a bunch of others. It's an honor and a privilege to represent such great companies. Orca Coolers is indeed 100% American made with a lifetime warranty. We'll talk to Bill about that here in a few minutes. I'll tell you what, it's this past weekend was awesome. We had a great time out on the water as far as doing a demo day is concerned for Kayaks by Bow, which is located in Titusville, Florida on US 1. We had, get this. It sounds like a big number to me. We had 50 plus people show up and sign waivers to try out kayaks. To some, 50 people is like, yeah, it's 50 people. But when you consider that 50 people, most of which were brand new to kayak angling or just kayaking in general, it's pretty exciting, man. It's cool to see that the sport's still growing and there's still a lot of people that are super excited about getting into kayaks. Coincidentally, that turned into kayak sales this past week for Kayaks by Bow. What do you think about that, Alan? 50 people was the official total number that showed up and registered.
You know what? That was awesome. And I think at one point there was we had a line growing for people wanting to demo kayaks. I know we were all bouncing around and try to help out whoever we could. I mean, we had every age group, kids, families, people showing up that, just saw the banners and stopped by to check us out. I know a lot of people were, wanting to know information about the shop and all that. So, what a huge success, man. That was a blast for sure.
Well, you hit the nail on the head with all age groups, because today I sold a Hobie Outback to a gentleman who is 79 years old.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, it
very
just
cool.
Goes to show that this sport is something that everybody can do. It's not just a young guy's or a girl's sport or, middle age crisis type thing. 79-year-old man came in today and bought a kayak with pedals in it. I mean, that's freaking awesome.
That's
awesome. So it is. It's totally cool. So, but man, I appreciate all your help. You came out and helped out, and so did our good friend Wade. The McInerneys, of course, they always show up and help out, and that was awesome. Randy English, there in the chat room, stopped by with his fleet of natives. I don't think Native makes a boat that Randy doesn't own. But,
oh, I know.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, and then who else was there? The other Steve was there. And that's it, I think. But it was awesome. We had a great time. Great turnout. So that was cool. Fishing this past weekend, some of the reports that we got in, actually, we both kind of got an opportunity to witness one of the fatter, larger trout that I have seen in this year, at least for this year, our good friend Justin Ritchie decided to murder a pregnant female. No, I'm kidding. Caught a big pregnant female, and yeah, that was wrong. What was she, Alan? 31 inches?
30, I think, right at 31 inches, and I don't think they got a weight on it. They weren't able to get a weight on it, but just, you know, from what I saw of the fish and, you know, actually getting the handle a little bit, it had to be, I'd say double digits, at least 10, if not more.
Yeah, it was
so,
a big fish.
Big trout.
I haven't seen one that fat in a while. That was a fat fish. My biggest last year was 34 inches and wasn't nearly that fat. So it may have been right after spawn or whatever. But Justin caught that fish on a Slayer SST, I believe, in molting color.
SSB molting, yep.
Oh, sweet. SSB
and
molting.
Said.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. And then Mosquito Lagoon. You know, they saw a bunch of tail end fish. They had a little bit harder time getting the tailers to eat, but he was lucky enough to catch that bad boy. So that's pretty awesome. Down south, I know that there was a couple tournaments that went off. Actually, a few of them that went off around the state. And up in Charleston, South Carolina, they just had another IFA event, which, by the way, for those listening at home, the Jacksonville flotilla of kayaks that went to Charleston to fish the IFA apparently showed the folks in South Carolina how Florida fishermen do it, because it appears that they pretty much swept the top spots. Yeah, the Cablers, the same guys that took the Jacksonville Classic title home this past year, went up there and pretty much owned it. I think one of the brothers came, I think DJ came in first, maybe. And his brother came in second or third, something like that. But pretty awesome to see a bunch of Florida guys on a podium up in Charleston, South Carolina. So cool. Let's see. I'm going to go real quick to Jameson. What's going on, brother?
Hey, man. How's it going? Appreciate
it's
you
going,
having
man.
Me on the show.
Absolutely. Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio, man.
Yeah, man, I was up there at the IFA event, and I fished it, and Eddie got first, and DJ got second. So they did have put a good showing up there.
Awesome. Appreciate you clarifying that for me, too. What's going on in the world of Jameson, man? What's going on in the world of Jameson?
Oh, man.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, man, we've been just busy traveling with Jackson Kayak and getting some good footage and helping run college kayak fishing, which is actually what I was calling in to talk about. So I've just been busy, man.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know Jameson, Jameson quit his day job, basically, and now gets to travel around with Drew Gregory and some of the guys from Jackson Kayaks and live the dream, I like to say.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
You're my hero, Jameson.
You what, Alan?
I said you're my hero, man. Good for you.
That's all right, man. I'm not paying a lot of money right now, but you know what? It's worth it, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm going to basically just ride it as long as I can.
So what's going on with your, what was it, kayak college bass fishing? What was it again? Sorry, brother.
Actually, it's all right. It's college kayak fishing. It's actually something that Drew started up last year. So basically what it does is it allows teams of three from different colleges to get together and compete against, you know, each other, but other colleges. And it all comes down to a college kayak fishing championship. And we have a salt series and a bass series. The salt series is actually going to be taking place this month on the 29th. So all the teams that have been throughout the season are basically, you know, pre-registered. That's all the teams that will be coming. But we've opened it up to individuals to be able to come in and compete. Any college student, just to get more people out on the water. We've got some great prizes, $500 scholarship for the individual. I think another $500 or so of hook one bucks. And then we've got several paddles and life jackets and rod and reel combos and things like that we're going to be throwing in there too. So it's a pretty good prize package for the individual. And the team is even better than that. They get three kayaks, you know, one for each of the championship. And then, of course, they get some hook one bonus bucks. They get like $1,500 worth of scholarship money. So it's just a great thing to get, like you were saying earlier, people of all ages. It's something to get younger people out on the water and allow them to have something to compete for, so take on the national championship.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, and so basically, yeah, I wanted to just, you know, get the word out that the individuals are welcome to come out, any college student. It's a $50 entry fee, and it's going to be in Biloxi, Mississippi this year, so it'll be a pretty cool place to have it at Everything Kayak. And you guys can check out collegekayakfishing.com for more information on that. And under schedule is the championship page. It has all the prizes and details and where people can actually get on there and register and everything. So we'll see everyone there. Me and Drew will be there, and Brooks Beatty, who's also the team manager for Jackson Kayak, he helps us run it as well. So we'll all three be there.
Killer. Brooks is my boy. You got to tell him I said what's up.
I will. I will do it. He's the man. He's staying busy now. We've got such a big team now. So.
Yeah. What are you guys, what else are you up to, man? What else you got going on? I mean, I know you just went out to California, fished, caught a bunch of calico bass, all kinds of craziness. What else you got going on? What's your next big trip?
The next big trip is ICAST. So I know I'll see you there.
Sweet.
We'll be doing that, basically representing Jackson there and some of those sponsors. I'm on Orca's team as well. So hopefully I'll represent for them a little bit while I'm out there.
I'm actually going to check out. I'm not sure. I'm going to check with Bill when he calls in and let us know if Orca's going to have a booth there. I imagine they will, but I'm going out there as well, so we'll see you out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So that's the next big trip, and then, of course, the college kayak fishing at the end of this month. We'll be doing that, so we'll actually probably go down to Louisiana and do a little bit of fishing just to get some more footage and stuff. Drew's actually, I don't know how much of this I can talk about, but whatever. He's starting a TV show up, and we're trying to get everything together for that. So we're going to be filming a pilot episode and another, a new sizzle reel and sizzle reel, whatever, and trying to get that out there. And so we're going to be doing quite a bit of traveling for that as well. So we got a few irons in the fire.
Yeah, well, cool. That's awesome, man. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask Jameson. I know when you were down through Boondoggle, you gave me you got a website going too, if I'm not mistaken. Kind of a I don't remember the name all offhand. I apologize, but kind of more or less an informational fishing report type national thing. I know I checked it out. It was pretty cool. What was that deal again?
Yeah, it's called AnglerShare.com. It's something I put together. I haven't really done a lot of promoting it, just been so busy that it's kind of took a back seat, but we designed a map for people. I know people, this sounds crazy for fishermen to be able to put a spot on a map and make it public where they go fishing, but you don't have to be real particular or, you know, give all your details away. But the idea was, like, say you went fishing in Titusville, you drop a pin on the map and just say how you did, where you stayed at, if you were on vacation, a good restaurant to go to, whatever, put some pictures up. And then, you know, people can check that out, and hopefully they're posting somewhere else. So when you're traveling, you could get on there and check out where they've been and, you know, what they've done or whatever. But when you tell people
they
can put a position on a map, people kind of freak out.
I put a bunch of chucks up there, a bunch of spots of chuck fishes. I dropped a bunch of pins, so I didn't know if you were getting hits on those or not. So hopefully that's helping out.
And when you're doing other people's spots, you can be very specific about where they were.
Cool.
And so I actually know where Eddie and DJ fish for the IFA. If anybody wants to know, I'll be selling that information. So it'll be up there on the website.
Yeah, okay. I was only kidding about Chuck's spots. I wouldn't do that.
I'm kidding.
No, that's cool, though. No, that's awesome, though, man. That's great. That'll help people out traveling. I know there's a lot of places I've never been that I've wanted to go, and you know, that helps out. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't know. You get in a new area and you don't know where to go. And, you know, that's a cool thing. So, good deal.
It's funny that you say that, Alan, about giving away my spots. Because what's the funniest part about that is Alan and I tend to fish a lot together. So, you know, your spots are my spots. Don't forget. I've already GPS marked every location you've ever fished ever. So
awesome. Very good. No problem. Share the love.
Yeah, man. Well, cool, Jameson. Listen, bro, anytime you want to call in and give us a report or tell us what's going on with you and Jackson and Drew and everybody else, feel free, man. You're more than welcome to come on the show. We appreciate you calling tonight.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me. And like I said, again, the website for that college thing is collegekayakfishing.com. So hopefully we'll get some college students involved in the sport, man.
Collegekayakfishing.com, absolutely. And I just happen to be friends with some of the guys from University of Central Florida's fishing group, so I'll share that with them as well.
Yeah, man, sounds great. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. Cool. Take it easy, man.
Thanks, Jameson. Right, you too. Take care, man.
See you later, Alan.
Take care. All right, man.
And from Jameson, we go to Mr. Becker.
And I even knew where the mute button was. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you? Have you been still slaying fish on the West Coast on topwater plugs?
Actually, I have not slain any fish recently on topwater plugs. Slayed one last weekend on an SST, I believe it was. SST and Golden Brim. But no topwater plugs. Last weekend was pretty slow with a weird high tide. Actually, it must have been the weekend before last, because last weekend I was busy playing with Andrea. Storm Andrea.
Right. Did you guys make it through that pretty good?
Yeah, no issues. I'm still dealing with the aftermath in my day job, just getting stuff cleaned up around the state, but that should be wound up by about tomorrow. But hoping the fishing's going to be back to quasi-normal this coming weekend. Actually make it out both days, so we'll see what happens.
Very cool. Very cool. What else is going on in the world of Mr. Becker today? Anything?
Just another day on the planet of unmitigated joy and bliss. Actually, just doing some work here. Wanted to call in and listen in via Skype. So,
yeah, man, no worries. I'll throw you there on mute. And if you have anything else you want to say, you know how to get a hold of us. Just kick the chat room door in a little bit.
Thanks for having me.
All right, brother. That's awesome, man. I love Mr. Becker. That guy is great. Did you get the chance to meet Greg Becker at the Boondoggle, Alan?
I think I met him. I talked to him for a couple minutes, and that was about it. I mean, it was so much going on, but I believe I did meet him.
Becker's the man. Yeah, he's the man with the golden voice. That guy. If he ever wrote a book, I would read it because I don't even like to read books. I'd read Mr. Becker's books. I probably wouldn't be able to pronounce most of the words he uses. But one thing's for sure, definitely be a grammar lesson by reading it. But yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, cool.
So check it out, folks. What we're going to start doing here shortly on Kayak Fishing Radio, I've been hit up with a couple of emails, folks asking for more fishing reports since it is indeed a fishing radio show. Alan and I have discussed a cool way to kind of get our two favorite local shops involved with giving us some fishing reports would be to get Tom Altiff from Kayaks by Bo up here in Titusville, Florida, and Richard Good from Harry Good's Outdoor Shop down in Melbourne to both call in every Monday night or as many Monday nights in a row as they can and give us a Northern Brevard County fishing report, i.e. from Tom, and a Southern Brevard County fishing report, i.e. Richard. So it's a good way for us to do two things, both promote our local fishery and our two favorite fishing stores. So definitely, if you get an opportunity to do any shopping down in the Melbourne area, make sure you stop by Harry Good's Outdoor Shop, who truly is your one-stop shop, would you not say, Alan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And he's getting ready to build on a little bit. He's, I don't think it's a secret. If anybody gets in the shop, he is no longer in the kayak business. He's pretty much gotten rid of everything he had. He'll still sell some mixed equipment that could be used for anything really, flats, boats, whatever. But as far as the kayaks, he's his theory is kind of getting back to grassroots, what started the shop back in 1946, I believe, when his great grandfather opened up the shop. And the kayak thing, it did okay for him, but he's wanting to get back to, as he says, the grassroots of what the shop started as, which is, basically a tackle store. He's wanting to get into a little bit more offshore equipment and stuff like that. So he's going to expand, knock a wall out, add on a little bit and, just kind of take it that direction. So, he's pretty excited about it. He's getting going on that. So cool. Good.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those of you that don't know, Harry Goods Outdoor Shop is the longest continuously running tackle store in the state. Family owned and operated since the 40s, right? That's crazy.
Yep, 1946.
Absolutely crazy. So, Alan, looks like we may have one more caller before we get to our guest tonight, Bill. You want to go ahead and grab that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Bill. Let's see. That's cool. Peppy, is that
another
you, buddy?
Peppy's there.
Hey. Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
Hey, you hear me?
Yeah, man.
What's happening, man? Finally get on after like 3 Mondays in a row. Being busy as heck.
3 Mondays.
That's cool, man. We know you just went down to Fort Pierce, and you just came back with a second place finish in the Tropic Bay Kayak Fishing Classics down there. Are you still leading the East Coast Division?
I'm actually behind. I just got a text a little while ago. I'm behind by 11 inches right now. I'm in second place by 11 inches.
You better step it up.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows the guy who's in first place is Chuck Statham from the West Coast, and that guy just seems to win everywhere he goes. I mean,
kind of like our good friend there in the chat room, Mr. Mixon.
Yeah. Yep, he just, but the thing is with, you can pretty much say in the East Coast, the way that series works, you know, you got a West Coast series and then you got the East Coast series. And since his address, Chuck resides on the West Coast, he has to win. He cannot win both divisions. He can only win one division. So really, he'll be fault and win the West Division.
That's funny.
So we were actually laughing about it on Saturday. We were talking about that. So he's in the lead in both divisions. He's in the lead in the West Coast and East Coast now.
Awesome.
So, but I'm only 11 inches behind him, so 11 inches is really nothing. It's pretty much just dumb, you know, just dumb bad luck that I guess I had on Saturday, because Saturday I fished down there. I haven't fished down in the Round Island area down in Fort Pierce in over a year, and pretty much went blind because all you know, I was moving this whole week, and pretty much I didn't have any pre-fishing going on, didn't have anything going on. Just went down there blind, you know, like Chuck, you were helping me, Alan was helping me move on Friday night, and I didn't go to bed till about 1 o'clock in the morning and got up at 4 a.m. to drive down there to go fish. And
at the end of the day, dude, you had about 3 hours of sleep before you went down to fish a tournament. You still came in second. I would say that anybody who fishes tournaments should fear you if you get 8 hours of sleep the night before.
Hey, you know what? It seems I'm seeing a pattern developing. It looks like when he has rough nights, I'm not going to mention the last one, but he seems to be on his game when he's I guess what pre-fishing you would call it the night before.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It works. Huh?
So, you know what? I'm gonna try that.
That's awesome. Hey, listen, we got time ticking by here real quick. Peppy, hang on the line, man. Don't hang up. I'm gonna go real quick to our co-sponsor, Orca Coolers, one of our my personal favorite cooler, my personal favorites, one of my favorite sponsors I have actually. This guy Bill, I'm telling you what, Bill Terry takes great care of us on the team. They continue to come out with new sizes. I hear whispers that there's some really cool stuff coming out of the Orca camp, not just cooler related. So I'm going to hit this commercial spot real quick. We'll go straight to Bill. Stand by, Peppy.
Yep.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Bill.
Man, what a tee up right there.
Dude, you are the person.
Living the dream every day, buddy.
I hear you, man. I hear you. So, folks, this is one Mr. Bill Terry, the Vice President of Sales of Orca Coolers. Orca, go ahead and, well, I'll let you tell us, Bill. What does Orca stand for?
Orca is Outdoor Recreation Company of America. So we're very high precedent in our company being the first roto-molded cooler company to be 100% made in America. And if we can't make it here, we just won't make it. We're all about creating American jobs and keeping American jobs in a downturn economy. So that's what we're excited about.
America. Love it.
Very nice.
America, baby.
America. Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. No kidding aside, and it's not just because I'm affiliated with Orca Coolers. The coolers are awesome. Pepe, you're still on the line. Do you love your cooler or what, man?
Oh, yeah, man. That thing is freaking – that thing pop. You know, it's that thing goes with me everywhere pretty much I can take it. The only thing is I can't fit it on my kayak. That's the one.
But I got something for
that
you.
That thing is great.
It's kind of been like a soft pitch here. We've got some new sizes that are we're actually selling a few. We haven't put them technically out there to the public yet, but they're listed on our website as for sale, so I guess we're selling them now. But our 26, 58, 140 just launched to the marketplace and actually just brought back a 140 back from the Biloxi Mississippi Championship down there. It's riding in the back of my truck now with a little dolphin in the back of it for dinner maybe.
Sweet. Nice. Little dolphin tacos. I'm down with that.
Yeah, it's real nice. Just got down there to finish up that event. Actually been on the road for 9 days, so having just got to finish dinner with the wife and one of our kids, and excited to be home for sure.
I hear you. I've seen, man, I've been watching you on Facebook. You're running around like a chicken with your head cut off promoting all things Orca. Now, we know that you've had the 75 cord out for the longest. That's been the most commonly seen size cooler. I own one of those as well as Pepe. And again, we can both attest for the quality of the product for sure, workmanship, the whole thing. Now you're dropping the bomb that everything else is pretty much available as far as sizes go, except for the big one, right? The big one's not done. The one was 150.
Yeah, we've got two sizes. The next one that'll be launching very soon, probably in about a month, is a. I call it a tweener. It'll be a 40 quart.
Nice.
That's an additional size coming. And then the big boy, it'll probably be somewhere around an October 1st launch. It'll be a 280 quart coffin box, if you will.
Wow.
Nice. That's going to be awesome.
I know
man.
That
I can't wait.
There is a lot of offshore guys with big boats that are very interested in the big cooler. I've actually talked to a couple of them, a couple people interested in the big one that you're coming out with. A lot of people waiting for that.
This is exciting. We're hoping to compete with that fiberglass market that's super, super expensive and be able to offer something that's a reasonable price for the everyday guy that can afford it.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. There's one thing on an offshore boat or a big boat that if there's one thing that can be changed about that is cooler space, especially when you take a tuna trip. Any of you guys that are listening have ever been in a big go-fast boat or even a big sport fishing boat, you go out tuna fishing and you get your limit of yellowfin tunas and they're all averaging about 50, 60 pounds apiece, and you try and fit all of those fish plus ice, plus dolphin, plus blackfins, plus skippies, whatever else you tend to run across over there, you run out of room fast. So to be able to stick something like that even on the back of the boat on the transom or up in the nose of the boat by way of coffin box, that is cool, man.
Thank you. And the 140 is nothing to sneeze about either. It's a beast as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. Backing it down a little bit to more of a kayaker's perspective, this 26 that you've got coming, man, I'm super, super excited about seeing it. I know that our good friend there, Richard, down at Harry Goods Outdoor Shop is a dealer for you guys already. We're still going to end up becoming a dealer for you, bro, I promise. at KBB Outfitters. As soon as we get our feet finally on the ground, it's going to happen. But this 26 is going to be a great all-around size cooler for the guy who doesn't need to take a whole bunch of stuff with him but wants to keep ice for days on end if he wants to throw a cooler in his kayak, correct?
Not even for the, you know, the kayaker, but also for the stand-up paddleboard guy, too, that is looking for a platform as well. I think it's going to fit in there and right nice in both positions there.
Well, I'll tell you, I put the 75-quart boat, I put the 75-quart cooler on the back of my Hobie Pro Angler 14, and I take that puppy over to the islands in the Indian River, and we proceed to partay all day long with the beverages that are inside that are kept super icy cold thanks to your guys' fine ingenuity. Now, I'll tell you what, that 26, man, is going to be a game changer, especially for guys like Pepe, myself, and Alan that have kayaks that we can stand up in. I'm looking forward to that 26 for sure to use as a casting platform / polling platform on my PA-14.
We've tested that. It will hold a full case of cans and one full bag of ice.
Nice.
So it's built to a great size.
And that's cans of soda pop for you listening at home. We're not trying to promote consumption of alcoholic beverages out on the river. But I'll tell you what, man, it's amazing what you guys have been able to pull off, keeping everything here in the States, the quality, the workmanship, the price. It just goes to show that, you know, American ingenuity can still make it in this environment.
Yeah, we're competing against the big boys right now. They've got huge budgets, and it costs a lot more to produce it here for sure. But we will always do that, and we will never change that. If we can't produce it here, we just won't make it.
So what else is going on with Orca, man? I mean, let me ask you this. Are we going to be going to me and you going to be drinking beers at ICAST together or what?
We will be in ICAST. We are booth number 15 officially. We were on a waiting list for a while, but we're booth number 15. So we'll be right next to one of our buddies, Michael Origo, that produces tackle webs for the back of our coolers. I believe they're booth number 17.
Yeah, another one of my sponsors and a great friend of ours, me and Pepe both. I mean, that's awesome, man. That's cool. You just made my day, bro. I know that now when I go to ICAST, I can just hang out at two booths the entire time.
There you go.
Things will be good. That's awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. That'll be big fun. I've not been to ICAST yet. I think it's going to be like a big kid in the candy store for sure.
I can give you a little fill-in, bro, real quick. It will literally take you at least 2 full days to walk ICAST and see everything.
I'm going to bring my parachute pants so I can fill my pockets full of goodies.
Parachute pants. That's awesome, man. Well, the cool thing about ICAST is I'm sure that you'll have plenty of vendors that will want to trade you stuff for coolers, man. So you don't have to worry about that. That's my favorite part about ICAST is the last day of ICAST, listening to the guys from the different rod and reel manufacturers, talking to the guys from the different tackle bag manufacturers and everything else, and watching them swap their own product out because nobody wants to ship that stuff home. So that's
very nice.
That's
very
awesome,
nice,
man. Heck yeah. That's cool. That's cool.
And
so,
also for the folks that don't make it to ICAST, we will also be a couple weeks later in that at Outdoor Retailer out in Salt Lake. So that's also another huge kayaking venue as well.
That's cool. That's awesome, man. I hope you guys have a great turnout out there. And I was hoping to try and make it out to Outdoor Retailer this year, but you know what? It was. I think the choice had to be made between going to Outdoor Retailer or ICAST. And ICAST this year is not only just ICAST. I don't know if you know. Well, of course, you probably know this, but the Fly Fishing International show is also going to be in the same venue as ICAST. So for me, opening up, yeah. Heck yeah, me opening up the Outfitters, it just made sense to go to Vegas. So looking forward to it for sure, man. It's going to be awesome. What else is going on with Orca? I know you guys, you told me a while ago that you were going to be coming out with some other stuff. Now, I know you've come out with the rain gear type stuff and things like that, the sweet jacket I see a picture of you on Facebook with. But any kind of inside Iggy's you can give us or anything like that or things you guys may be working on?
Sure. We we've got a couple of things that I think will change some of the markets out there too. We've got something coming that will be an accessory to our cooler that will actually make turn your cooler into a portable live well. So for the guys that are fishing with live bait, you know, you can use our cooler, you know, it'll turn it into a live bait cooler, for lack of better terms, and then you can, you know, you still use it as to function as a cooler as well. We've got some big bait tanks launching hopefully this fall, some dry deck storage systems coming, working on a wheel kit for that big boy. We're trying to make sure we do it right, and we think we're real close to be able to launch that as well. So also, we've got a new slip resistant pad material that will go on the top of our coolers that you can buy as an accessory. It's another American made product right down the road from us in Gallatin, Tennessee, and it'll be branded under the Conceal brand. It'll actually bond either top of your cooler. So another accessory. That was, you know, kind of goal one was get a product in the market, and that was our 75 quart. Goal two was get additional sizes to the market, and that's 26, 58, and 140. And then goal number three is get lots of gadgets to add to them, because I know you guys are gadgety.
Yeah, we like gadgets. We like gadgets,
so
for sure.
See the question in the chat room
right now. We're in the middle of the gadget stage, I would call it.
Yeah, I saw the question. We got a question for you, Bill, from Chris in the chat room. He's asking if what's going on with the suction cups that are being going to be coming out for the bottom of the cooler. Anything on that?
Sure, we actually do have a little rubber boot now that we've been testing. Those are complete. So the new super slip feet are in place on the bottom of the cooler. And now we have a little boot that you can slide on there that will keep it still, so you don't have to screw it to the bottom of your boat anymore. So those will be, probably in the next week or so, those will be launching on our website. We've been testing them just to make sure they work the way we want them to work, and now they're ready to go. So probably in less than a week, they'll be up on our website ready to go.
Awesome. Alan, you got any questions for Bill?
Not that I can think of. That's all that stuff impressive. I mean, that's it sounds like they're going to have everything covered. I know the one thing that impressed me when I which again was a boondoggle with you and Peppy with your coolers out there, which, you know, I appreciate you guys letting me put my stuff in there. But I think we got Peppy and I got there. Gosh, I forget what day we got in, like Wednesday, Thursday, something like that. Put ice in the 75 quarts you guys had. And I know the same thing. We went down to down in the Everglades. The ice just, I mean, you know, down in the Everglades, it was, it's fairly warm too. And I mean, just what, 3-4 days, and we never had to add ice to them. I mean, that was just amazing. I noticed, I think the last day we were at the boondoggle too, we, packing up, the thing still had ice in it. I mean, we had to dump the ice out just to, get them home and stuff. So that's, what a benefit of something like that, just to, saving money in ice and stuff and keeping all your food cold and all that stuff. So, I was impressed. Awesome.
Yeah, you know, the thing for me too is we take a lot of trips down to the Gulf Coast, you know, with our family, and, you know, we're always down there for, 5-6 days enjoying the beach, and I always get a chance with such great pro staff all over the country to get to go fishing, and we always want to bring fish home. And now, for me, it's really about a sense of security, knowing that I can fish the beginning of the week, put that fish in our cooler, ice it down, and when I get home back to Tennessee, I've got fresh fish and not have to worry about, well, is this good? Should I not eat it? Should I eat it? And being a good steward that way. So it's really more of a sense of security for me than anything.
Yeah, that was the one thing I noticed. I mean, if you get, a lot of us, because I know, Chuck had talked about doing some island stuff this summer and stuff like that. And, you're going to get to places where you can't buy ice if you need more. So just knowing you're going to have something that's going to hold ice for days, like you said, just the sense of security of it, and your food's not going to go bad, fish isn't going to go bad, that's huge. So,
dude, I'll tell you how cold the inside of an Orca cooler can get. When we just had Trey's birthday party, my oldest son, I had some beverages in the cooler out back of the patio, and I introduced another beverage, a bottle, into that same cooler, and that came out of the refrigerator, there was literally ice that had formed around that bottle. Like, there was an ice, like shell that had formed around the bottle from being in the Orca cooler. I'm not even lying. Somebody's got a picture of it. I know it because I told them to take a picture of it. But it was the craziest thing. I've never had ice form around anything in a cooler before. And the water in that, the little bit of water and the ice mixture that was in there, just had, it was weird. It was like someone super glued ice cubes to the outside of the bottle. It was the strangest thing.
Wow.
But yeah,
man,
hey man, that's what you want, right? When you buy a cooler and you put your drinks in there, you want them to be frosty. You don't want them to be kind of cool. You want them to be cold, man. That's what I'm talking about. That's awesome. No, but you know, what even impresses me more, Bill, is that Orca's been able to do this, as you say, without having the huge budgets of some of the other brands. And some of the other brands may fit people for different reasons, whatever. But you know what? I'm all about buying American, American-made, and as you said, helping keep Americans in jobs in this down economy. And kudos to you guys, man, for being able to do a great job with it. It's awesome.
Thank you very much, man. We're really excited, and there's lots of things coming. And a few things I couldn't share with you because it's top secret stuff they say in the business. But we're super excited to be moving forward and having, you know, such great supporters behind us.
Absolutely. And from Pepe and I both, I know that anytime, man, you want to come down to Central Florida and do some fishing, feel free to give either one of us a holler, man. We'd be more than happy to put you on some fish.
I wouldn't fit in a kayak. You guys know that. You might have two of me stand up on them.
Hey,
well, we can do boat trips too. So
yeah, we can do boat trips too. But hey, you haven't seen my kayak yet, all right? It's not even considered a kayak; it's a boat. So yeah, I promise you, Bill.
I'm more of a barge fisherman.
Yeah, you'll fit in that Pro Angler 14, brother. I promise you.
Very nice.
Very cool. Well, listen, man, Pepe, you got anything else for Bill?
No, thank you very much for everything. I mean, I can't say that. I mean, you've been great. Orca Cool has been great to us. Orca Cool has been, I mean, it's blowing up. It really is. I mean, I've been over at Rich's place over in Harry Goods, and I've seen people in there buying coolers left and right, Orca Coolers left and right. I actually got to check out the pink one the other day. I hadn't seen it the other day, and saw it in there, and about 2 days later, it was gone. So
Very nice.
We're going to have to get happy. We're going to have to get Pepe one of those 26 quart coolers in pink to rock on one of his native.
Is that his color? Is that his
he
color?
Loves pink, man. I'm telling you, pink, salmon, pink, whatever.
I
think we'll put the 140 in pink on the back of his kayak.
There you go.
Hey, listen, you want to send somebody a 140 in pink, brother, I will take it and rock it without any kind of shame. I promise you.
Very nice.
All right, well, listen, let's give away a prize pack. What do you say?
Shoot, yeah, man. Let's do it. Why don't we give away a hat, T-shirt, and a couple of koozies and a couple of stickers there.
That sounds awesome. And how do you have a way you want to do this thing or what?
Man, it's all you guys. It's all you.
Alan,
how about some kind of
how about whoever's name in the chat room has co-host by it will be the winner for the night.
Yeah.
No?
That's not pro stuff. I'm just playing.
No, I know. I'm sorry.
What were you saying, Bill? I'm sorry.
I think the first person to post the picture they caught this week on Orca Cooler's Facebook page wins.
There you go. Boom. Hurry up. Orca Cooler's Facebook page. Post the picture
tag
of the fish.
Chuck, better tag Redfish Chuck.
There you go. Tag Redfish Chuck in it. Go to the Orca Cooler's Facebook page. Post a picture of a fish that you caught this weekend. Spazzy, you're in the chat room, man. You caught a hell of a trout. The first one that does it wins. Awesome. And whenever the winner's picked, Bill, you'll get a hold of him through the Facebook page and figure that all out.
Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. Just I'll check that first thing in the morning, and I'll get a hold of him through messaging, and we'll figure that out.
Awesome. Thanks, brother, man. I definitely appreciate it. And thanks so much for coming on the show. And thanks so much for all the support, man. You guys show me. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks
for having
Bill.
Me, guys.
Thank you for everything, Bill. Have a great one, guys.
All right, man. Take it easy. Awesome. Bill, Terry, rocking it out for Orca Coolers. I'm telling you, listen, it's not even a sales pitch, and it's not because we're pro staffers. I mean, Peppy, straight up, dude. You gotta love the cooler. The cooler itself is just absolutely incredible. There's nothing not to like about it.
Oh yeah, that's why. I mean, the coolers. I have people asking me sometimes, how does it compare to such and such cooler, which everybody knows the other brand I'm talking about, and I tell them, hands down, I find it a lot better than the other one. I mean, I do. I mean, it holds coolers for 3 or 4 days. It holds ice for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Yeah, in 90 degree heat in Florida.
Yep.
You know, you want to take it to Canada, it'll probably hold ice for a month.
Chuck, you've Orca Coolers pictures up and you've been tagged. So
sweet. Who won?
Looks like Mr. Richie got his trout picture up there fairly quick with you tagged in it. So I'll let Bill decide the official winner. But looks like he's on there.
I wonder if Bill should disqualify that one for
because
being
he killed it
trout.
Because he killed it. Bill might still be on the line. Hold on a second, Bill. Are you still listening?
I'm still there, brother.
You still here? Listen to that.
Bill,
listen, I say that we disqualify Spazzy, also known as Justin Ritchie, because he killed a giant female trout by taking too many pictures of her. I'm just kidding. Don't do that to him, man.
He was just trying to make a little dip, man. He was out of smoke dip.
Yeah, gotcha. No, that's awesome, man. So I don't know if he's the official winner, man, but it seems like he popped up there.
There's your official winner. Just have him send me a message with his information, and we'll get that right out to him tomorrow.
Fantastic. So, Justin, you heard that, man. Send Bill Terry on Facebook a message with all your contact information, and he'll get the prize back out to you right away. That's awesome, man. I can't believe that. That's funny. And what's even more funny is you're still on the line, so we can go back to you. What's up, Alan?
I was going to say, you know what? I know we're giving Justin a bunch of flack about that trout, but knowing Justin, and you know, I've fished with him, and I know you fish with him. He's real careful with his fish, and he takes care of them. And the guy does it for a living. I mean, he's in the business for taking care of fish. So I know he tried his best, but I actually got to clean that fish when they brought it back to the demo day where they. The knife was so dull, I don't know if I should have used the front or the back of the knife. It was that bad, but the fish did not go to waste, you know, so for what it was, he made the best of it. But that was the biggest trout I've seen in a long time. But
for sure, that trout was a stud, man. And listen, it's summertime. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah.
You throw out a Slayer SST or a Slayer SSB, and you hook a giant, and the water's warm, and sometimes it just takes too much toll on them. Even if you do everything you can possibly do to handle this fish correctly, sometimes they just don't make it, man. And that's why there's regulations that allow you to keep sometimes fish that are, you know, over the typical slot limit, like a trout. You're allowed one over the slot. So that's, hey, it was a legal keep. It was a great fish, a heck of a story. And it's just, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame that Justin wasn't a part of the big fish challenge that we've got going on over at Kayaks by Bo this month.
Oh, heck yeah.
Because
that
he would have won.
Tough one to beat.
Yeah. He'd have won the trout division, no problem. Absolutely. And
yep.
To get to that point real quick, folks, if you forgot about it or thought that you couldn't get back into it, you can still get into the trout tournament / redfish tournament for this month. It's a month-long tournament. It's $20 per species. Contact me up there at the shop if you want to get a hold of me and you know, get your entry paid over the phone, or if you want to do it via check or cash. I would prefer if you guys could be able to swing by and do cash. It's easier for me to handle. And all the money that's raised from the tournament goes directly back to Heroes in the Water. We're going to try and help to maybe earmark some of that money to go to our brand new started Space Coast Kayak Angler Hero on the Water. I mean, Space Coast Heroes in the Water division. So, it should be a great turnout for the tournament. I know we've got, I forget how many we have. We've got probably like only 6 or 7 people that even signed up for the thing. But at $20 a pop, man, at least every dollar counts for Heroes in the Water. So it's totally cool. And Bill dropped off, man. I was going to try and get back to Bill. I almost forgot. Bill and Orca Coolers came through and hooked it up, man, for the Boondoggle. They gave us a beautiful 75-quart cooler to give away. And I know one of the guys listening there in the chat room, Greg Crisp, he won that cooler in the raffle and was super excited about it. In fact, we used that cooler to do our raffle tickets in, but it was cool, man. Let's see. Wade just said there in the chat room they had their first Heroes on the Water meeting tonight. That's cool.
Yeah, I think they went up to Jacksonville over the weekend for a event they had up there. Can't remember what they called the event, but I know I think it was Vicky and Mike Kanin went up this past weekend to Jacksonville with Melita and Charlie, just to kind of get an idea of how they run the Heroes in the Water thing. And it, you know, it seems like from what they posted up and stuff, they were pretty impressed with the way they run those things. So that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Peppy, man, going back to you, brother. And again, congratulations, man. Second place is killer, especially fishing an area that you haven't fished a whole lot. And going down there and just kind of representing once again for your peeps back here in the East Coast, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Just a quick report for you guys for down there. If anybody wants to fish down there in Rhonda, I'm sure Drew lives down there, so Drew could give a better. I'm sure he could give a much better report than I can. But just in the one day that I was down there in the Round Island area, there was some big trout. I caught two 24-inch trouts, and there was a ton of trout all over. They were just picky, man. They did not want to eat. And I had to change my top water literally like about three times in order to get one to eat. And I got one of those trout to eat. But I'll tell you what, I ended up hooking up with two snook also, you know, mid 20 size snook I hooked up with. But there is some monster snook down there right now on the flats and down in that area. I mean, I'm telling you, 40-inch snook on those flats.
That, so where are we going?
I came up on them. Yeah, you ain't kidding. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen snook that big before. Right next to the kayak on a flat, like that. I'm cruising a flat, standing up, poling, and all of a sudden I see this fish in front of me. I'm looking and I go, holy cow! I can't believe the size of that thing. You know, it's like huge snook. And actually, one of them, I threw at a couple of them, and they just, you know, they spooked when they saw me. I was standing up. I got too close to them. And one of them headed towards Otis Koblenz from the West Coast. He was fishing with me, and one of the snook headed towards him, and you could see the wake headed right to him. And I go, Otis is coming right at you. And Otis sees the wake, and I'm watching him, and Otis threw a paddle tail or something like that out. Sure enough, man, he hooks that big snook. And that thing, the fight lasted about 5 seconds. that's how big that fish was. The fight lasted about 5 seconds. I saw that rod bent, and next you know, whack! You just see the line snap, and he's screaming his head off and all kinds of stuff. And I'm sitting next to him. I think I was more mad than he was because I wanted him to nail that. I wanted him to catch that thing.
That's awesome.
No, you didn't.
dude, you don't understand. I wanted to see that fish out of the water. I wanted to see something that big. You know, it was that fish was easily the one. It was 40 inches easily, that snook.
All right, stand by.
Yep.
This just into the kayak fishing radio newsroom. Our good friend from Fishing Florida Radio, Steve Chapman, went out fishing. Spazzy, you might want to listen to this. He went near shore today, which means right off the beach, looking for some tarpon in his sweet Hell's Bay Waterman, and didn't get a tarpon, saw a few, but caught a giant Jack Crevel and some Bonita, and so fish are starting to show up off of Port Canaveral. So there you go. Appreciate that little report there, Steve. And for those of you that don't listen to Fishing Florida Radio, or you live underneath a rock and have never heard of them, Steve Chapman, Mike Ortego, and Boudreaux put on, without a doubt, the best radio show, fishing-related, outdoors-related radio show that I think I've ever listened to. Check them out, 7:40 the game, Saturday mornings if you're in the Central Florida area from 6 to 9. Also, now broadcasting all the way up in the Panhandle, so when we're in the boondoggle, we'll be able to hear them live and in person at the boondoggle. Well, I don't know about in person, but we'll be able to hear them live on the local station up there. I'm not real sure what the station is, but I'm sure we'll get all those details here shortly. And still being syndicated in other parts of Florida, so it's the largest reaching outdoors radio show on terrestrial radio. You can also listen to it on iHeartRadio, or you can listen to it live streaming on their website, which is fishingfloridaradio.com. There you have it. So, Pepe, if you were going to fish this upcoming weekend, I don't know if you have plans to or not. I know you just moved into the house and all that. Congratulations on all that. It's awesome, man. The house is beautiful.
Thank you.
If you were going to fish this weekend down south, say from Pineda south somewhere, since now you live right near Pineda, where would you go? Yeah, where would you go? And what would you do? And what would you throw?
Oh, man. If I was to fish somewhere, I don't know. The water is very clean. I would say from the Pineda. I know from the Pineda south, it is clean, very clean. Alan and I went out last week south of the Pineda, and it was very clean down that way. If I was to fish somewhere down there, I would probably, it's a little bit further down south, but I would probably go back to Round Island, to that area. I mean, I would probably go back down. I mean, it's a little bit further south, but the fishing, just from the snook that I saw down in that area, I would probably fish that area. Another area that I've been meaning to try, that I've been wanting to try, I haven't fished it in probably a year and a half or 2 years, is down in the Wabasso area. That area right there, I have not fished that area in a long time, and I actually passed by it this weekend. I drove right by the area where I used to fish, and I looked that way, and I was like, man, I got to come back over here. It's been a while since I fished this area, and that area right there produces redfish, snook, trout, and flounder. I mean, big flounder I've caught there. So I would probably try down there. Alan and I tried by the Pineda a week ago or so, something like that, and it was kind of slow.
Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah, it was kind of slow. I mean, there was some small trout and stuff, but we had a lot of company, right, Alan?
yeah, you can, if you want to call it that, yeah.
Yeah, we had company. We were out there fishing, and we had company. We had actually one guy in a skiff with a trolling motor with the trolling motor on, basically come within casting distance that I could have cast over his boat with the trolling motor. He had that thing running. I just put the rod down and put my hands behind my head and just sat there just looking at him with my hands behind my head, like, just so he sees me, like, what are you doing? You know, I'm just looking at him like, are you serious? You know, with your trolling motor on right there that close? But, I mean, what can you do, man? It's open water, man. It's free to everybody.
How about you, Alan? If you were going to fish somewhere let's just call it the central region, so anywhere from Pineda north to, hell, the lagoon, that's cool. Where would you go, man? Or what would you do?
Yeah, you know, probably, I mean, you know, kind of like Pepe said, the Banana River, it seems to be holding pretty clean so far. I know when Pepe and I went last Sunday, last time I fished down there, it's probably been over a year ago, and the grass was just, I mean, there was no grass. You know, spots that I was fishing in Banana north of Pineda, all the way probably up to like the Newfound Harbor area, Merritt Island, the grass was just, it was gone, just like a beach bottom. I'm hearing a little bit, it's starting to come back. I know around the Thousand Island area last time I was there, Wade could probably tell us better, but I know that the grass was starting to come back. The water was clean. You know, some other areas, I guess you could call it central Indian River Lagoon, hasn't been, I don't think, quite as affected as, you know, up north of the railroad bridge, up around, you know, where we were, actually where we were doing the demo day, you know, other than us kind of traipsing around the shoreline, you know, getting kayaks in and out of the water, it actually looked pretty clean right there. There was some good grass. I know
you know, Justin and them guys fished. I'm not sure exactly where they went. I know they were mosquito lagoon somewhere, but you know, they said it wasn't too bad. And then I'm hearing too that down around the south of 405 in the Indian River, you know, around the refuge area and stuff, it's been kind of hit and miss. The waters, you know, one day it's dirty, one day it's clean. But I think my next, I guess you could say, adventure, I want to try doing a little bit of the. This is going to be more down south, but some of the creek stuff. I've been hearing a lot of stuff about people fishing some of the feeder creeks that feed Indian River, and I guess if the sharks aren't there, I'm hearing that, you know, sharks are kind of getting thick. I guess this time of year the sharks start moving up in the creeks, but you know, if they're not chasing the fish out, you know, they're getting tarpon, snook, all kinds of stuff in the creeks. We've had pretty good rainfall, so I think it's going to get the water moving real good, and that might be a good idea for a little trip, maybe do some creek fishing or something like that. I haven't done that in a while, but, you know, other than that, I'm not sure if I'll get out or where, but, you know, there's still some good fishing out there to be had. I don't think the water's gotten super, super hot. I mean, I know by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, it's pretty warm, so it's going to be shortening our days up a little bit, but I got some ideas. May try.
Why don't we just fish for the sharks?
We could. You know what? Get some bull shark action going. I know there's bull sharks, and
we should you know what we should do? This will be awesome. We'll just have a good time with it. We get me, you, and Peppy and a couple other guys lined up. I'll go out and I'll hit the power plant. I'll load up on ladyfish, and we'll go out there and we'll tie ladyfish off to the nose of our kayaks. And draw the sharks into us, because we're only talking little pup bull sharks, right? Like, how bad can they be?
Yeah.
And we'll draw the sharks into us, and we'll try and get some bull sharks on fly rods.
Cool, I'm down.
Oh man, I think I'll film you guys.
Yeah.
Because I've had not enough sharks in my lifetime that I could care less about catching a shark. I'll tell you that. I mean,
but a shark on a fly.
I mean, really.
Awesome.
I mean, I'm just tired of catching sharks.
You can film us. Hey, I'll take that. That'll work, man. I think it would be cool to get like a little, you know, 15, 20 pound bull shark on a fly rod. That'd be awesome. I really.
Oh heck yeah.
I'll tell you.
I'm in for the tarpon though, man. If I do see tarpon, though, I am in for the tarpon. That.
Yeah.
But
absolutely. Absolutely.
We've been hearing inside the creek that there is a lot of tarpon in some of those creeks. There is a lot of tarpon in there. You just got to weed, you know, you got to weed through the sharks. So that's the only thing.
Yeah, Mike Kaneen was telling us about the tarpon last time that he was in there. He said it was nuts, man. Anyhow, yeah, I think it would be cool. A shark on fly. Someone's giving me the whirly eyes. Like, it doesn't sound like fun. I think it would be awesome, man. You want to talk about a fish getting you in your back? Yeah, you're talking about a fish getting you into the backing. I mean, come on.
Oh yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
Anybody,
I don't know if you're
anybody,
gonna have any line left after one shark.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Steel eater.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. When you throw a little steel eater like you would if you're throwing flies to barracuda. But
nope.
So real quick, let's give you guys a little report. Something that I've heard from north of the typical haunts for most of us Space Coast kayak angler guys, up towards Spruce Creek. I heard that there's been quite a few flounder that have been cruising around in there, as well as redfish, a few snook still hanging around. The black drum haven't been that thick up in there. It's been kind of tough, but the tides have been kind of interesting and neat. You definitely need to catch the tides on the right tide, but it could be a lot of fun, man. Get up in there throwing, hold on real quick. Sorry, my ADD just kicked in. Spazzy says 30 pound tippet like a boss. I'd do it. Hey. I'd probably lose two dozen flies before you finally get one to the boat, but that'd be cool. But anyhow, get up there, throw some shad tails or some stick type baits like the SSTs or SSBs from Slayer. The water up there has been a little dirty, not too terribly bad, but I know some guys have been catching quite a few flounder even on fly gear up there, so that should be pretty awesome. Also venturing off the beaches. I know I've talked to some guys who've been able to fish the beaches quite a bit out of boats. And they're saying the bait's kind of starting to show up. It's not real thick yet, but there's definitely critters out there roaming around. So if you get an opportunity to cruise off the beach, please do so. Be safe about it. We talk about that a lot here on the show, the do's and don'ts and equipment you should bring with you and whatever. We're going to actually do a offshore fishing show here shortly. Alan, I believe next week we have Let's see. Let me double check. Talk amongst yourselves real quick. Let me figure out what we got here on the calendar. Yeah, that means
talking.
There you go.
Oh, okay. I was gonna. Are you you fishing this weekend, Peppy, or what? Or you got, you can't Saturday, right?
I can't Saturday, but Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday, it's there on Sunday. You know, I want to do it on Sunday if I could. If the weather cooperates, I'll be out there Sunday, I think.
Yeah, it's supposed to be. It's been pretty slick this you know, mostly this week, so it's been looking pretty good. I'm off tomorrow and Wednesday, and you know, got to do a little something on Wednesday to help Alex out and stuff. So I'll see how that pans out. Maybe have a little report from that at least for next Monday and stuff. So we'll see how that goes. But
yeah, I got a report from somebody that went out yesterday. Somebody went out yesterday out of over there in the no motor zone.
Mm-hmm.
Off of NASA Causeway, launched off of NASA Causeway, and on artificial, they caught, I know, early in the morning. This is all I know from, it was before 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't know anything else after that, but I know they had hooked up to two giant reds early in the morning on artificial.
No motor zone.
So I was like, whoa,
yeah,
when cool. I heard that one, I was like, uh-oh, I don't know.
Tempting.
Yeah, man, I hear that one. I was like, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah, well, that's I haven't been up north. I don't know. I'm here in the waters, you know, up north end of Indian River Lagoon and stuff. I heard it's getting pretty chocolatey and stuff like that. So I haven't fished up there myself, just, you know, from hearing the reports and stuff, trying to try some new spots. I'm going to see if I can find some venture out and try to find some different spots and some go-to things, you know, for different winds and stuff like that. So good time of year when the water gets like that to start doing some exploring, find some new spots to branch out a little bit, I guess. So we'll see. I haven't decided yet, but may try to get
that's
out.
That's why Saturday, I enjoyed that. You know, Saturday was tough fishing. It really was. It was tough fishing down there.
Yeah.
Hardly anybody caught fish in the tournament. And, you know, it was real tough. But, you know, there's something about fishing new waters. You know, when you're fishing
mm-hmm.
somewhere that you haven't
right.
fished in a long time or that you never fished, it's just something about it, you know?
Yeah, well,
like you said,
the Wabasso, Sebastian area, that when I used to fish that, you actually get a little bit of a tide down there, because I know a buddy of mine used to, he's got the Gordon boat, which is at, you know, basically at Hell's Bay, and I used to go with him, and he had it down, man. He knew right when them tides would start, you know, what little bit of tide they get down there is, you know, he knew right where the fish would be when that tide got to a certain phase, and you know, it was cool fishing. It was actually a little different than what we're used to up north, and then, you know, North Lagoon and stuff like that. So need to try to start trying some of them south spots a little bit more. I've kind of gotten away from it for a while, but it can be good. You're right. So
yeah,
you know, we'll see.
I like fishing down south, man. Fishing down south's cool because it's you got a much better chance of getting into the line siders as you do up here, and I love catching snook, man. There's just something about a snook. It doesn't matter what size it is. They're just a lot of fun to catch. And I'm game for exploring new territories and trying to fish some new stuff and, you know, see what we can come up with. But real quick, guys, next week, our guest, I believe, will be Mark from yakgear.com. I believe next week is Mark from yakgear.com, and then the following week, I believe, is Ray from Akuma. So look forward to those finalizations coming. As soon as I get final word that they're both going to be on those respective days, and we'll make sure to let you guys know. But also, too, if you haven't checked out yakgear.com, I don't usually – you guys who fish with me know – but I'm pretty basic when it comes to the way my boat's rigged out. I don't have, you know, 15 ram balls scattered around the boat, Allen or Island, or I don't have, you know, a bunch of extra stuff, you know. Yeah, my bad. And so I forgot about the one on the bow. So, you know, but I don't usually carry a lot of that stuff. I went and looked for some things that I can possibly put on my PA without being too intrusive, and and yakgear.com seems to have exactly what it is that I've been looking for. They've got a couple of different things that can make my stand-up fishing much easier. Ah, so They actually sell a telescoping pole that can mount right into their star mount that would mount right onto the railing of my PA-14 that I can then put a rod holder on. This thing, I believe, extends to almost 48 inches. So for stand-up fishing and putting a rod down right next to you rather than having to bend down to pick up a pole and stand back up again and lose where the fish was at, could be the answer. They've got a couple of camera mounts that I was looking into, but I could tell you, I'll be interested to see what Rob DeVore, Benita Bob, Jim Van Pelt, some of those guys come back with from their little excursion they're doing. They got fully outrigged and outfitted by yakgear.com with all kinds of railblazer type mounts and things like that to use for the filming of Bob's record-setting attempt. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Have you guys been able to read up on that at all?
No, hadn't seen that.
So Benita Bob is going up north. He's going to go up to Georgia, and he's going to go to, I believe, South Carolina. And he's going to try and do what's never been done out of a kayak, which is get the, I don't know what the name of the slam is. It's like an ultimate slam or like the Royal Slam or whatever, Lifetime Slam, whatever. He's going to try and catch one of every bass species that's recognized by the IGFA here in the United States that would make this slam happen. And he's going to try and do it all out of a kayak, which has never been done. And there's only, I think, like 12 or 13 people, maybe a little bit more, who have done it in their lifetime. Like it's a pretty hard thing to do. It's not like you could just go up and, oh, I'm going to catch a smallmouth, catch a largemouth, catch a spotted bass, catch a swanee bass, catch a this and a that, whatever. It's a very strict species list of fish. He has to go and do it. He only has about a week or so, I think, that they're going to be off to try and make this thing happen. So it should be pretty cool. But I'm really interested to see the camera angles and things like that they're able to film with because of the mounting systems that's offered by yakgear.com. It's yak-gear.com. So go check them out. Definitely looking forward to that. But what else, man? Our good friend Randy English, who's there in the chat room. Congratulations to Randy. Folks, if you guys are going to be in the market of having anything built or put onto your kayak, if you're in the market for a new kayak, and you can buy Kayaks by Bow and check out all of the accessories we have from companies such as Yak Attack or yakgear.com, Railblazer, the whole thing. Randy's going to be your man. He's going to be the guy who's going to be doing most of our rigging for us. So congratulations to Randy English. He will be the rigging master of sorts there at Kayaks by Bow. And Randy told me today that he was off looking around somewhere and spooked up a giant flounder in the river, like right off the bank. I mean, a monster. From the way that he described this fish, it had to have been over 10 pounds. It was just like a small halibut. But so, yeah, keep your eyes peeled for big flounders in the river, too. But, Alan, well, actually, Pepe, you got anything you want to close with, man? What do you got? What else you got going on? You going to be fishing any tournaments soon or what?
What was that again?
You got anything you want to close with, close the show down with tonight? You got any tournaments you're going to be fishing, any shout-outs you want to give to your sponsors or whatever?
I actually got my next tournament will be June 30th, which I think it's the IFA that's here. It's going to be in Titusville. It's open for everybody. So if everybody wants to fish that, I mean, it's the one time a year that IFA comes to Titusville. I'll be fishing that. I think Alan said he was probably going to fish it. I don't know if you are, Chuck.
I think I kind of have to.
You kind of have to.
I think Frank, the Hobie rep, told me that I pretty much need to.
That's one of those, you know, that if everybody knows IFA. I think the entry fee is like $50 and it pays out pretty good. I mean, it pays out first place. It pays all the way down to like 12th place, 13th place. So it pays out pretty good. And I think first place is like $1,000, like $1,500 or something like that. And then if you enter the Angler's Advantage, which you pay a little bit more, it like doubles your prize or something like that. So you could end up with over $2,000. You know, you can play with over $1,000. So it's artificial only too, which that's what I like too. So, be doing that. So, That's the next one. Other than that, man, got to worry about the house, man.
I hear you. Well, again, man, congratulations on the home. It's a beautiful house, man, and you guys definitely deserve nothing but the best. But any sponsors, man, you wanna mention real quick?
Yeah, man, of course, man. Gotta mention first of all, the Native Kayaks, Native Watercraft. Check them out at Kayaks by Boat. Love the boats. Check them out. And of course, man, I got some tackle webs out there, you know. Everybody, Mike Ortego from Tackle Webs, check out those bag systems that he's got for the kayaks. Those things are the best, man. I got them on my boats, got them on my cooler, got them everywhere. They work for everything. And that's about, you know, that's about it, man. That's good right there.
Alan, he's still, man, what do you got?
Yeah, same thing. Kayaks by Bo, Jackson Kayaks, Temple Fork Outfitters Rods, Red Zone Apparel, Bending Branches, Aquabound Paddles. That's it. That's my list.
Sweet. And for me, as always, first and foremost, I want to thank Tom and Lynn over at Kayaks by Bo for putting up the good fight and trying to help us protect the Mosquito Lagoon from the Space Florida launch. Folks, if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, there's going to be a town hall meeting coming up in July. If you do not show up at the town hall meeting, I don't care what you have going on in your personal life. If you are not there at the town hall meeting, then you have no leg to stand on to complain about anything that happens to that wildlife refuge after they go ahead and build this rocket launch facility. You know, it's just like people who sit around and complain about politicians that don't vote. Hey, if you didn't vote, you got nothing to say. You know, if you don't show up and you don't voice your opinion and you don't fight for what you believe is right and want to try and protect things that, to me, you know, are God-given, not given by the government, then, hey, you know, whatever. Like I say, you guys got to just take care of our environment and keep an eye out for that because, you know, fishing is it's not just about fishing. It's about protecting a national wildlife refuge. It's the silliest conversation that should never even have to take place. But as soon as we get that that information as far as the date and time of that meeting, I'll be posting it up on Facebook. You know, you guys know me well enough to know I'll blow the Facebook world up with posts about it to try and annoy you guys into going. But as far as my sponsors go, Kayaks by Bo, soon to be KBB Outfitters as well. Hobie Kayaks, Tackle Webs, of course. As Pepe said, Mike Ortego is a really good friend of ours and has a great product. If you don't have a Tackle Webs bag on your kayak, something's wrong with you. I have 1, 2, 3, 4 of them on my PA-14. Hopefully, I'll have a fifth one soon. I got to get with Mike and order one of the Velcro style to put underneath the lid on my hatch in the front of the boat. But store your gear, store your snacks, store your cell phone, store your keys. You can store just about anything you want in a Tackle Webs bag. Custom fit for not only the PA, but also for the Outback from Hobie. They'll fit just about any frame chair from Native to Jackson. Wilderness boats, it'll fit just about anything. So check them out, tacklewebs.com. Captain Mike Ortego, he is the person. So from there, we got Bending Branches Paddles, of course, Slayer Inc. We got Ego Nets, Eagle Nest Outfitters, tons and tons of props to all of those sponsors, man. They do a great job to help me out and allow me to do what it is that I do. And I don't think I forgot anybody. And of course, I mentioned you earlier, you were a guest on the show, Bill Terry from Orca Coolers, hands down the best cooler for the dollar that you can buy on the market today. Definitely appreciate it. And by the way, yes, indeed, Tackle Webs come standard on your Orca cooler. So on the back of my 75 cooler, I also have a Tackle Web. So that would make 6 Tackle Webs bags that I'll have on my PA-14. So awesome. But listen, everybody have a good night. Take it easy the rest of the week. Don't forget to check out the rest of our shows here on Kayak Fishing Radio. We've got tomorrow night, we have the Double L crew. broadcasting to you live from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Wednesday night, we have the Low Sodium Show, one of my personal favorite shows to listen to for all things freshwater. I don't get to do a lot of it, man, but I'll tell you what, Mark Wheeler has done a phenomenal job putting on a great show for you freshwater freaks. And then don't forget, this whole thing couldn't be possible if it wasn't for Chip Gibson, the godfather himself slash tree hugger. His show goes off on Thursday nights, which is the round table. It's awesome, man. Buzzards Row, 8 o'clock Eastern. Yeah, there you go. So tune in, check them out. Listen, Take a Kid Fishing. They're the next generation of anglers. And boys, Trey and Logan, get some sleep, man. Daddy loves you. I'm tired. And Trey, stay in your bed. See ya.
All right.